As we say good morning, we bring you glad tidings. We try and be kind of an antidote to the, stress and the pressure and the sour news, and we try and give you a happy show, an upbeat show. Now, talking about happy, it might be fun to see a couple of your favorite comedians as they appeared on this program, I would say, in the 1950s. I'm going to show you Jackie Mason and Woody Allen, past tense, as they looked when these photographs were left in my studio, I would say, about 1958, 59, maybe 1960. Jackie Mason as a young comedian, and all we can say
that's TV and radio talk show host Joe Franklin. He's seen on more than 2,500 cable stations every night. But until 6 years ago, he was solely a New York institution, an institution that dates back continuously to 1952, making him TV's most long-lasting talk show host. He's also the last of a breed. He's proud of being unpolished and without big production values, playing host to has-beens, never-will-bes, and showbiz greats he so admires. In a 1971 profile in the New Yorker magazine, William Whitworth wrote, "However interesting Joe's show may be, many of Joe's friends feel that the way to seek exposure to his magic is not by watching his show, but by visiting his office. Joe's office is even less like other offices than his television show is like other television shows. It has a quality that goes beyond mere grime and disorder. If it were a person, it would be a bum." We invited Joe Franklin to take a short break from his celebrated office and go crosstown to the NPR studios. We talked first about the parodies of the Joe Franklin show that Billy Crystal used to do on Saturday Night Live. I asked Franklin if he thought it was a good parody.
I never could see it because I was on the radio opposite Billy. I do an all-night radio show. I was on opposite Saturday Night Live. So finally, one day, somebody showed me a videotape of Billy Crystal doing Joe Franklin. And when I looked at it, you want to know what I said?
What'd you say?
I said, "One of us is lousy." but he did make me into a cult figure or a superstar. And I've got a little crusade going now to try and get Billy Crystal back on Saturday Night Live because I missed that weekly. That was a tremendous plug. And I've got a letter writing crusade and people calling up NBC. We're trying to get him back on that show so he can do more of. I know he's making movies, but his heart is really, I know, with those comedy sketches and doing me. And I wish he'd get back and do more of me.
You know, here's something I'd wonder about, though. Did you ever ask yourself when you were getting a lot of response when Billy Crystal was on, how many of the people who were writing you were doing it ironically and how many were, like, really sincerely liked your show? Do you know what I mean?
They all like me. It's done. It's done with affection.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. People who are doing a spoof on me, Terry, they're doing a spoof on a spoof. Because as you can probably gather by now, I'm putting the whole world on. My whole existence is kind of tongue-in-cheek.
What do you mean by that you're putting the world on?
People think that they're using me. I'm using them better. When Billy Crystal does me, he's doing me the favor.
Uh-huh.
I have maybe 6 letters from Billy Crystal and from his press agent asking to put him on my TV show. I don't want him on there. I've turned him down for a funny reason, Terry.
Why would you turn him down?
Well,
hey, we've been trying to get him on our show.
Let me tell you. Well, no, he'd be good for your show. And I would imagine, see, you know, Woody Allen. It was either Woody Allen or Dick Cavett. I forget which one. They told me once how they worshipped and idolized Groucho Marx, almost as a divinity. They worshipped Groucho Marx. They couldn't wait for the day when they could get Groucho Marx on their program. So they finally, after many years of negotiating and begging and pleading, they got Groucho Marx on the show, and they were totally, totally disillusioned. They found out after they met him, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball on the mic or on the camera, that he was just like anybody else's grandfather, an ordinary, nice, smiling man, but not that brittle, sarcastic wit that he was in the movie. So I figure if Billy Crystal meets me in person, maybe it's an inferiority on my part. I feel he'd be disillusioned or disenchanted. He'd find out that I'm not that wonderful character that he makes me out to be, and he might just become non-enchanted and stop doing me. So I figure let him admire me from afar, let him adore me from afar, and not come on my show and not meet me. Leave well enough alone.
You are famous for some of the most generous introductions to your guests. Do you think of it as a courtesy to flatter a guest after you've invited them on?
I make them feel good. I give them a build-up, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, this party is getting rave reviews, critical acclaim, accolades. And then I would say 7 times out of 10 they deserve it, 3 times out of 10 they don't. But if we book them onto the show, we like to make them feel good. You know, people kid about me, or I can turn on the radio late at night and I hear people talking about Joe Franklin, what a nice guy he is, he puts everybody on TV, but you got to realize that it's not so. For everybody who's on the show, there's about 1,000 I've got to turn down.
You have met a lot of people on their way up, and you've met a lot of people on their way down.
Right.
Who are some of the people who are now stars who you gave early exposure to on your
show?
Well,
whether it was a talk show or a variety show or any TV screen, I gave the first exposure ever to people such as Barbara Streisand, Woody Allen, Flip Wilson, Bette Midler, Liza Minnelli, Michael Jackson when he was with the family, Bruce Springsteen, who's been on me about five times.
Do they remember you after their stars?
A few come back. Bill Cosby comes back. Most don't come back because I tend, I represent, see, when they see me, they think of the days when they were broke and they feel a little bit embarrassed. I guess that's human nature. I mean, it's kind of shallow, I guess, but it is human nature that I tend to represent the time when they were broke and they'd rather avoid me. A few come back, but most of them duck on the other side of the street when they see me.
Now, you've been on the air long enough, over 36 years, that you've seen some of the same people on their way up and on their way down.
Right, right.
So, you know, I'm sure you probably get some of them after when they're making their comeback after the cocaine or alcohol crisis.
And you want to know something?
What?
I very happily put them on.
Sure.
I hold no grudges. Sure. I always kid about what you just said, Terry. I always say that I feature those on the way up and on the way down. So, you know, listen, who's to knock that, right? It's not a business anymore where big names make the show. It's a business now of conversational themes and formats. It's not a question anymore that Bob Hope or George Burns is going to get you a big rating. Today it's just a question of what are you talking about? Is it kinky? Is it going to make a little bit of excitement? And how far can you go in this era of tabloid TV?
When someone calls, you say that they frequently talk to you directly. That means that you're the one who has to tell them no if you're going to turn someone down who wants to be a guest.
Well, I try to let them down gently. That's also a good point. I just hate to say no. I try to recommend them to a cable show or to a lesser show or to somebody who can use that kind of a guest. But
you've been in this business so long. Why can't you say no?
I'm just nice. I don't know.
You turn people down, but I mean, why can't you just come out and say nah?
And that's one of my weaknesses. That's one of my sadnesses. I don't know how to say no. I used to travel with Jimmy Durante a lot. Jimmy was a good friend. Remember the name Jimmy Durante?
Oh, sure.
Schnozola.
Sure.
And I'd walk with him in the street, and people would walk up to him and say, Jimmy, can you come to my church on Saturday night and do a show? Could you come to my house Sunday and have lunch? And he would say, yeah, to everybody. And then, of course, when Saturday night came, he couldn't make it because he was booked for an engagement or for a Colgate Comedy Hour. And so I guess it kind of rubbed off on me. I'm just nice. That's the answer, nice. And I know it backfires, and people sometimes hate me for it, but...
Do you accept invitations and not show up, like
always,
Jimmy Durante?
I'm due every night in 15 different places. And I don't even call to cancel a reservation. But listen, life goes on, right?
What do you think people should know better than to ask you in the first place?
Well, most people know by now. They know by now. And I always tell them, call back Monday morning at 9 o'clock, because I won't be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock. So I just haven't got the heart to say no.
Television and radio are usually considered professions for gypsies because you have to move around so much from station to station. And you've stayed put for a really long time. As a matter of fact, you're in the Guinness Book of Records now for having the longest-running talk show.
And the most interviews.
Oh, you have two entries?
Yeah, two entries. About 180,000 guests and maybe 28,000 times it has said on the TV screen, The Joe Franklin Show.
How long are you planning on doing your show?
I would say until the end of 1989.
Okay, but you know, that really surprises me because you're national now. You've become very famous in the past few years. You have listeners viewers all around the country. It seems like the opposite time. I'd expect you to retire.
I'd rather quit before I get evicted. I'd rather phase out gently. Just a question now of there's not much left to do or say. I've done most of it, you know?
You don't think you'll miss being on the air every day?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've done it, and anybody who tries to equal my record would have to probably start now and still be on the air about the year 2028 or 2037, which I don't think could happen in today's fickle day and age.
What's the worst dream you've had, nightmare dream, about your show? Everybody, I think, who hosts radio or TV shows has had a few really bad dreams.
Being late for the studio, couldn't get a taxi, couldn't get a cab, and being late, and but even then when I wake up, I say, so what if I was late? The world goes on, you know, you can't worry about each and every show, can't worry about perfection, there is no perfection, I just roll with the punches.
Joe Franklin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Terry, I've enjoyed it. Please invite me back and come on my show whenever you're ready. I'm on WOR Radio weekends. You know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
The Joe Franklin Show is seen on WWOR TV. This is Fresh Air.